I guess me and Raven been having the same thoughts. Because I was sitting at the house one day, I don't know what day it was this week, and I was thinking about that same thing, about just talking to the Lord. I said, Lord, all the teaching that I've heard, and it's been good teaching, and I love the teaching, and I love the teaching of this Word. I said, Lord, but I want more than just the teaching. I want my soul to experience Him in a way that I've never experienced Him before. I want my soul changed. I've been accused of giving out too much information, and rightly so. Judy tells me that all the time. You don't need to tell everything. So when Raven called and told me that I was speaking, or he wanted me to speak, which, you know me, right away I try to get out of it. I started to seeking the Lord and searching the Word, and you know, it's just like a, just nothing, less blank as blank could be. I'd study, I mean, I spent days reading the Scriptures, just searching the Scriptures and reading the Scriptures. And I began to talk to the Lord. I said, Lord, what's wrong? You know, this is different from any time that I've ever studied before. You know, the Lord always gave me understanding and led me in a direction. But it's like I could get no direction. And I would read the Word and just read the Word chapter after chapter. And in frustration, I would just close my Bible. And most of the time go to bed because it's late at night. Wake up in the middle of the night. Lord, reveal your Son in me. Because I have nothing, I mean nothing to share unless it's what He's revealed in my soul of His Son. That's all I've got to share. I mean, I can throw words out there and that's all they would be, is just words. Empty words with no life. I don't want that. I've always told the Lord that. I said, God, if I can't speak Him, then I don't want to say a word. I'd rather just sit down and keep my mouth shut. Because I don't want anything coming forth from these lips but that He's revealed in my soul of His Son. And that's my heart's desire. You know, I've heard somebody say in this fellowship one time, you know, about waking up in the middle of the night and just crying out, Lord, reveal your Son. There's many times during the week that happens to me. I wake up and that's the first thing. Lord, reveal your Son in me. Reveal your Son in me. I was thinking again this week, and I do a lot of thinking, a lot of talking to the Lord. I get out on the deck sometime and I just think of the Lord and I talk to the Lord. I was thinking this week, I said, Lord, I remember the first time that you really opened my eyes to see Him. It was in Timminsville. Brother Lumen was ministering down at Harry Lee's church years ago when He opened my eyes to see Him, for my soul to get a glimpse of Him. And I still remember it to this day. And I said, Lord, I thank You. I thank You for that truth, for shining that light into my soul to reveal Your Son in me. But at that time, I didn't understand really what was going on. I'll be honest with you. I did. Because it was contrary to everything that I had been taught all my life. And I kind of pushed it aside. And I kept on going to the nominal church that I was in, sitting there under this teaching every week, knowing that there was something greater. And I would go home. I work in third shift. I would go home in the mornings when I get off of work. And I'd take my, back then it was cassettes. I'd take one of the cassettes of Brother Lumen's monthly tape that he would mail out, and I'd put it in the cassette and lay in the floor I listened to that tape and uncontrollably cried like a baby. I could not control it. I tried to stop and I couldn't. And I said, Lord, there's got to be more. There's got to be more. I was never satisfied. And it wasn't till I don't know how many years later, I finally turned my heart to the Lord one day and I said, God, and this might not be the right way to phrase it, but I said, God, right or wrong, I'm going with this message, the message of Christ. I said, I'm going with it. Because that's the only thing that really satisfies. Because it was life. It was life. And I thank God for that. I thank God for the message of Christ. You know, I think about Paul a lot of times. He's when, in the Galatians there. Sometimes he's talking to the Galatian church. He said, just how soon are you drawn away from this word? He couldn't believe it. How soon they were drawn away from the message of Christ. But he said, if anybody, even if an angel come and minister anything else other to you, unto you than the, than Christ, let him be accursed. Well, see, since God has opened my eyes to the truth, when I hear somebody else ministering that's not him, it just makes me want to leave. Just by, I can't tell you how I feel. But it just don't have words to say. But I want him. And when I hear the word, I want to hear about him. That's all I want to hear about is him. Because this whole book is him. It's about him. This new covenant is a person and it's called him. Jesus Christ is him. Without him, there would be no new covenant. Because he is the Word. He is that living Word. That's right. He is that Word. He is that life. So without him, there would be no Word. There'd be no life. I was talking to somebody one day, and I don't know why it come up. Because it was finished before the foundation of the world. But I told this person, I said one day, I said, you know, he was the Son of God. He didn't have to come down here and die on the cross. I said, because he was the Son of God. I said, but I'm so glad he did. Amen. I said, but he didn't have to do that. But he did it that we might have life, that we might experience that life. Amen. That Adam may be put to death, that then we might live by his life. You see, that's another thing I've been thinking about lately, is that life. That life. He is my life, period. He is my life, period. There is no other life but him. He is the life that dwells in me. He is my life, period. And like I said, as I was studying, I tried my best to write down scriptures. I put them in my computer and I would go to print them out. And it just didn't feel right. And I'd clear them out. Wouldn't even print them out. I said, well, God, maybe you want me to speak on light. Because I administered a couple Sundays at the house on living in the light, living in him, living in Christ. And how that came about, some years ago, probably 10, 12 years ago now, I was still in the nominal church that I was in. And during the praise, what they call the praise and worship part of the service, where they sing songs, lift the hands up and worship unto the Lord, I saw something. I saw this in the Spirit. I saw the cross. And on this side of the cross, it was like everything was churning round and round and round. I saw in that, kind of reminded me of a cyclone or tornado. Because it started out big, and as it got to the cross, it just sucked into the cross and got small, just like that. There was people, there was animals, buildings in that circle being sucked into the cross. And then when that finished, the cross was there, and on this side it was just a big bright light. There was nothing left but a big bright light. Well, at the time when I seen this, I'll be honest with you, I didn't understand it. I didn't know what it meant. So I just kept it to myself for a while. And sometime this year, the Lord brought it back to my remembrance. See, everything of the old was fulfilled at the cross. Everything. Ephesians chapter 1, in the dispensation of times, He gathered together all things in one. Well, see, those all things were gathered together in one. All this, there was no need of it anymore. It was done away with. Because the one that all these spoke of had come. Now all this was to be done away with. And now there was only one that remained. And that's what that light was. The Lord was showing me that there's only one that remained now, and that was Him. That was that bright light. Because He is all that is seen now, is Him. I went to bed last night, and I hadn't written any scriptures down. But I was laying in the bed, and this scripture came to my mind. I got up and I went and wrote it down. I looked it up in the concordance. Very familiar. Galatians 2:20. Says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Well, see, there's too many I's in there for me. It made me think that Adam was still alive when I knew he wasn't. Because Adam was done away with at the cross. Adam was done away with. The old man, Adam, was done away with. So I got my concordance down and I looked at the Bible Knowledge Commentary first. And then I looked at Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown. And he had it kind of broke down. He had looked up the Greek words, what they really meant in the Greek and everything. And he said, I am crucified with Christ. He said, literally, I have been crucified. Literally, I have been crucified with Christ. Then he went on to say, nevertheless I live, yet not I. And then he got the long Greek word here for that, zoudi, okia, ego, or something like that. He says, nevertheless, I live no longer I. I live no longer as Adam. I live no longer I. Though crucified, I live no longer the old man such as I once was. No longer, and he went on to say, no longer Paul the Jew, but another man liveth. Translated, it is no longer I that lives, but Christ liveth in me. And then he says, I am crucified, the Greek word apethanon, I am dead. I am crucified, it means I am dead. You go to Romans 6:6. I might as well read something. This chapter talks about being dead to sin. Talks about the old man, the sin nature, the old man. He said, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. For Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Now, not Adam. When it says we live with Him, now he's not talking about Adam. He's talking about the Spirit of Christ. Because like I said a while ago, remember, only one lives. Christ. Knowing that Christ being... Let me finish that. Knowing that Christ being raised from... I lost my thought. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that He died once unto sin. Once. But in that He liveth unto God. Well, if we be dead with Christ, well, we died once too. We died once too. He dead, we're dead. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, we die no more. Because we've been born anew, been born again of His Spirit. So therefore, we die no more. I tell people, I'm in eternity right now. They tell me, you know, they have to die to be in eternity. They have to leave this body to be in eternity. I said, no, I'm in eternity right now. If not, then the work of the cross didn't do its work. But it did. So, I'm in eternity right now. This fleshly body is not eternal. But that one that lives in my soul is eternal. So I'm eternity right now. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead. And I think this is, I won't say our problem is my problem. I keep it personal with me. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead. Indeed, unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, that word in the classical Greek, that word reckon means, you know, you have to apply it to the truth. Yes. You have to apply it to the truth. The Scripture says that we are dead. Well, just believe what the Scripture says. I mean, we all, you know, it says up here the old man was crucified. Well, see, that bothered me. And I, be honest, it still bothers me sometimes. But he's dead. He's crucified. But why does he stick his old ugly head up every now and then? Because I don't reckon him dead. I don't apply it to the truth of the Scriptures. The Scripture says he's dead. Well, he's dead. I don't give in. I don't give in to those animal impulses, that fleshly nature that's in this fleshly body. I reckon it dead. Call it restrained if you want to. Alive unto God through Jesus Christ. He says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. And your members as instruments as righteousness unto God. That's pretty plain. That's pretty plain. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. See, now I could become a law unto myself, and I could put all kind of restrictions, whatever, against me that goes contrary to the Word of God, and be a law unto myself. I can do that. But I don't desire to do that. I put months ago, I taught one Sunday morning at the house on light. Darkness versus light. Well, see, that's all I see in the Scriptures, darkness versus light. That's the problem that we have, or I have, in my body. This fleshly body is light against darkness. See, the way I see it, God is light. He is light. Well, that light dwells in my soul. Does not light dispel darkness or do away with darkness? Now, this is the way I see it. If I'm wrong, y'all can correct it. If light dispels darkness, then the darkness that was in my soul is gone. Because light lives there. Life lives there. The darkness is in the fleshly part of me. Now, that's the way I see it. And if I'm wrong. See, my carnal mind to me is darkness. So that therefore that makes the sin nature darkness. Anything outside of Him. See, Christ dwells in my soul. Anything outside of that light is darkness. It's not Him.
Amen. That's it.
It's not Him.
That's it.
Anything outside of my soul is not Him. About 2 years ago, I was sitting on the steps one day, and he said, just something dropped in my heart. If you could see it, it's not me. If you can't see it, it's me. God's eternal. God's invisible. In Colossians, I believe it is. Chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. See, you don't see me. You see Him. What I'm saying is, when you're looking at me now, yeah, you see me. But you don't see the Christ in me. Because it's hid in Him. So only He is seen. That's why I only seen one big bright light. Because it's all Him. He's all and in all, the Scripture says. I looked up that word hid one day, and he said it's just like you take something and bury it in the ground. It's hid. You can't see it. It's like you bury it in the ground. So all is seen is Him. You can't see the things of the Spirit. In the spirit realm. You can't see them. They're invisible. Now you might see the effects, the natural happenings of it. But you don't actually see the Spirit itself. case and example. You see the leaves moving on these trees out here. Well, you know the wind's blowing, but you don't see that wind. You see the effects of that wind because you see the trees are moving, and that's natural. That's a natural tree, but it's caused by the wind blowing. Well, it's the same way with the Spirit. I mean, the way I see it, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. The way I see it, when the Spirit's moving, you don't see the Spirit, but you see the effects of it in the natural. Like when God heals somebody, He's healed by His Spirit. Healed through His mercy and His Spirit. You see a natural happening in a natural body. Well, that person's still going to die. They don't live eternally. That natural body does. So that's what I say by that. You can't see the Spirit. And Raven, y'all can correct me if I'm wrong. That's just the way I see it.
Hallelujah.
So, for you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear or has been made apparent unto us, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Mortify. This goes along with what I was saying a while ago about reckoning. Mortify, therefore, your members, which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordered affections, evil concupiscence, covetous, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Well, this is man. All these are in man. In the which ye walked, ye also walked sometime while ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication. All this is still man. This is the man. All this is in man. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect God, holy and beloved bowels and mercies, and kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering, forbearing one. All this is Christ. This is Christ. There's one thing I know, and you or nobody else can convince me any different. Christ is my life. Period. Period. He is my life. He lives. Adam don't live. When it says that those that are in Christ, they are a new creature or a new creation in Christ Jesus. I was not talking about He made a new Adam, another Adam. You are a new creation, a new creature. All, it says, all things have become new. And those all things is Christ Himself. Christ Himself. So, as I was studying, and I'm probably about finished, I just jotted down some things. Since I wasted the ink to jot them down, I might as well read them to you. He says, for if any man be in Christ, he's a new person altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything has become fresh and new in Him, Christ. And I wrote down, and I don't know where I was at, I just jotted these things down as I was reading scriptures. Everything that is true in Christ is true in us because we're in Christ. He died once and He will die no more. We died once and we'll die no more. His death was the end of Adam. We are born again of His Spirit. We live unto the Father, not another Adam. I wrote this down, and I must have copied it from another translation because I got 2 Corinthians 5:10. We're not to look upon a person as what they were in Adam, the old, but we're to see each other as what we are in Christ, a new creature in Christ. I'm shut up, if it's all right.
You know, this whole seventh chapter, I like probably the whole Bible, but this whole sixth chapter, seventh chapter, is based on reckoning. As the reason we're going through this, It really stood out. Reckoning. You could just start out up here. You could just write it wherever. Too many of God's people have never come to reckoning. You heard the term dead reckoning. Or you can stay up, or you won't have to leave. Or you can stay down. Brayden, Monday night class, what were you? What were you talking about, Brayden? What was it?
We
have to reckon. What were we talking about?
Well, there's the, you're talking about the conscience, the pure conscience.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, about the flood. And the where he talks about the flood and then talks about our conscience, the pure conscience, by the resurrection. Mm-hmm. And that there's the word conscience talks about something that your understanding is joined to something new, something other. I remember the one thing about Noah when they came out. When they came out of the ark after the new creation was brought about, the first thing they did was build an altar. And that's and to me that kind of goes along with what Richard was saying. It was like there was a recognition in the new that the first is put away. There is a reckoning there of the first being put away and the new having come.
Yeah, you made a comment about reckoning that really struck me.
I can't remember. It's been a while.
I'm not for sure now what it was.
It
was along the line that our reckoning, is through being confronted by Christ with the truth that,
yeah.
And so we're not reckoning insist on something because it is true. We come to a reckoning because we have seen Him who is the only truth that exists in the universe of God.
Yes.
All kind of things that are truth, but not the truth. Reckoning comes from being confronted by the truth.
Yes.
Otherwise, you can't reckon. There's no basis of reckoning. We can, we vacillate around. We just vacillate. My God, folks, we just vacillate. And the whole point is Richard started tonight, is the life. Honey, until Christ is revealed in you, there is no basis of reckoning anything. There's no basis of reckoning. And the Lord so awakened my heart to, just a few years ago, you never think, when you see Christ, you're teaching this gospel. At least I didn't. You never think that people that they'll just hear words and grab those words and form that and believe that and start talking like it and everything. You think, no, they'll see Christ. No, they won't. No, they won't. Not unless they have a heart in them for the seeing of Christ. They'll hear that is new. They'll hear it. They'll embrace it. But there's never a reckoning. Because the reckoning is deep down, and it is my soul finally having to face God in judgment. It is, think about it. It's everything. Gather the whole human race up into one man, Adam. Bring it all back. See? To the garden. Bring it all back there. Adam goes out of the presence of God. He goes over and he deals with Satan, whatever form that may have took, it's not important. But the end of it is he believed the lie. And he never came to a reckoning of that. Never faced God and ran and hid, and the Lord found him. You'll never read there, "Lord, forgive me, I sinned." It's not there. It's he blamed it on everybody that was around to blame it on. There was never a reckoning. Never a reckoning because he was put out from the truth. You can't reckon on a lie. Reckoning is what our soul has to come to. If we don't reckon that I'm alive again from the dead, that's a lie out from among the dead. That's a lie out of hell. We don't reckon that I'm resurrected and Jesus gave me a new life. That's not reckoning. Reckoning is when the soul sees exactly what it is.
Yes.
And that's what Paul says. I was really reading that, and it just stood out as Richard was going through it. Thank you, brother, for taking us there. He that is dead is free. He that is dead is free. That's a real good work and finished work. He that is dead is free from sin. Now, if the word "if" there is like now, seeing that now, if we be dead with Christ, what's the difference in being dead with Christ? When Christ was crucified, all humanity died with Him, but they. What they died in judgment. They died in judgment. They died in sin. Dead in sin. That didn't bring them into Christ. When we come to Christ, when the dead hear His voice and turn and come to Christ, we are baptized with Him into that very dead. We're baptized with Him into His death. becomes a baptism of our very soul. We're baptized. He that is dead is free from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, not just dead, if we be dead with Christ, that's the death he's talking about here. If we be dead with Christ, we believe, and the word with there means in union with. In union with. In union with Christ. We believe that we shall also live through, or in, or by union with Christ, with Him. Where is the foundation of reckoning now? He brings knowing. See here, we believe, we believe, we believe. What's your basis? Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead, that Christ being raised up out from among the dead. Now wait, see, look. The only basis of reckoning is Christ Himself, the truth Himself. Seeing the truth as it is revealed in Christ. And the truth, as it is revealed in Christ, is that I'm dead and He's alive and He's the only one that lives in me. He hadn't made me to live again. That is a lie. Did God really say you'd die? Come on. No, you won't. He knows that you'll be like Him. That's a lie. It came out of hell. It was released in the garden. That's what man looks for in religion. What does man look for in religion? Wayne called me one day. Several years, it's been a number of years back, but anyway, I was driving out and he called. And he had been thinking. And it was regard to the cross. And he said, you know what? It just dawned on me. He said, we're not afraid to die. We're afraid not to live. And man, that hit me. I said, brother, buddy, you hit the nail on the head. That's it. I'm not afraid to die. I'm not afraid to live again. That's the religion of man. He looks for that in every religion that man has created. It has that woven in with it. I mean, they don't care if they come back and live with the grasshopper, you know, they live. I mean, in some, you understand? Live in a tree, whatever. That's it. Resurrection, honey angel, is not about me living again. Resurrection is either Christ living in me or it's not the resurrection. That has to become the basis of reckoning. The basis of reckoning is knowing that Christ died no more.
Yes.
Knowing that Christ liveth unto God.
Amen.
Go on down. Therefore, reckon. Ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God. How? Yes. Through Him. With Him. In you. Because He lives in you. That's the only reason. But we've got those in the church world and sometimes closer than you think who would make the cross anything other than where I die. And I appreciate Richard saying what he said tonight. Yeah, summed it all up, brought it all up. That's true.
Yes.
That's true. One of the problems with that is that when we hear that and see that, until there is a reckoning, we'll never admit that we're at it. We'll say, I was, but I'm not no more. Now, I'm alive. Jesus made me alive. Now I'm the new man. No, he's the new man. We're a new creation, as our brother said. New creation is created through union with him. The new creation only has one man living in it, and that's Christ. None. There is just one who lives, and lives in you, and he lives in me. And except he does, then we don't have, not only do we not have life, we're not new creation. The reckoning, that hit me as Richard was ministering. Until we reckon, and what Reagan had said in that Monday night class, it was just a comment that he made while we were talking, but it had to do, it comes to me now, it had to do with a face-to-face accountability to Christ. Become account, face-to-face accountability, face-to-face with him. Brother, now you have a basis of reckoning. And what is it? I'm dead and he's my life.
Yes.
Hallelujah to the Lamb of the living God. Now see, to those who have stooped to our flesh, they might have, but to those who have never reckoned that to be so, that's bad news. They're saying, it's first step, just first step. No, that's life. That's life eternal.
Yes.
Not I, but Christ, be life eternal.
That's liberty.
Hallelujah to the Lamb of the living God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That becomes the basis of dead reckoning. That once that is laid in your soul, I mean, that's the basis from then on for you. In comprehending Christ.
Yes.
From then on, that's the foundation. That's the basis. But until that reckoning comes, I'll guarantee it's going to be me. One way or another, I'm going to find a way that I can live. And if I can live, the more holy I can do that, the better I like.
Yes.
And pretty soon, I'll just be God.
Right.
Yeah, or at least right there, pretty close to it. It's the same, you know. I appreciate what they shared tonight. But as Richard was going down through this, and he was talking about reckoning, and he brought that out, and I thought, my God, you can just hear and hear and hear. And I woke up to that several years ago. The Lord awakened me to that, and I began to just get on, just almost drive people crazy with it. You can, you know, by telling them, you hear this, you hear what folks, unless Christ is revealed in you, nothing. Because that's what makes it the man. That's what makes it the person. That's what makes it other. Is the teaching necessary? Certainly. We declare this gospel? Certainly. Why? Because it is given to turn hearts.
Yes.
But hearts must turn to see. It is the one they see that's where it all starts. That's where it all starts. Hallelujah. With the turning of the hearts. And there's the light I was talking about. That thrilled me because that's what it did. It's just, what's left? Big light. Walking in the light as he is in the light, knowing him. Big light. Hallelujah. God filling our very soul. We've been talking about the fullness of Philip, and he described it tonight. That's it. That's it. Light.
there's this verse that I think this is part of what you're talking about, and we were talking about it one time before. I never realized this is what it truly said, but it's Hebrews 4. And in the context, we're talking about the rest that remains and later on entering into the rest. And man, this hit me. It's because here he talks about the Word of God that is quick and sharper and divides asunder. And that's the reckoning God has already brought about that has to take place in our heart. There's an eternal basis for a reckoning. Because it's not really what a reckoning that we do. It's a reckoning the Spirit of God does in our hearts. And seeing Him brings that reckoning, really.
Amen.
But this to me, this is great. I mean, we know verse 12. We know the intents of the heart and all are divided by that sharp Word of God. Verse 13 always puzzled me. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. That's the part that's really important. That's not manifest in His sight. In other words, He sees all things as they are, according to His view.
Yes.
But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him, and the King James says, with whom we have to do.
Yeah.
The Greek says, with Him with whom we have our reckoning.
Yeah, that is what the reckoning.
And the next verse shows you how that reckoning takes place and how that sword cuts into the soul. And that is that great high priest.
Yes.
Because it's in the one who stands in the presence of God, which is who that is, he sees all things open. Nothing's hidden. Everything's before him in his sight as it is. And that's all found in the face of Christ. One creation being put away, a new creation stands before him, and he sees all things as they are. And that's the one with whom we have this reckoning. That's the one. And how does that take place? We see the one who is manifest in his life. And then there is that division. It's the soul experiencing the division that he's already brought about. You know, with that reckoning coming about. That's what we're talking about. There's an eternal basis. The truth itself that God beholds is the basis for a reckoning in our hearts.
Hallelujah.
And it leaves what Richard said, and that's the part that thrilled me. Just the simplest statement, but the most beautiful. Christ is my life, period.
Yes.